Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello and welcome to Lutheran Radio UK, your healthy digital radio addiction, where we have for you now another episode of the series Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. This week we're looking at Luke chapter 13 verses 1 to 9, where we find out all about sacrifice, Siloam, and the sinner. That's you and me. So from the English Standard Version, our text reads, "There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, 'Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Were those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.' And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, 'Look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?' And he answered him, 'Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig round it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down.'" We live in a culture that has mastered the art of being outraged. As soon as news breaks, social media is flooded with people playing a game of "I am more outraged at this injustice than you are." On a more humorous note, we actually have pages dedicated to things like Outrage of the Month, which inevitably ends up asking for the resignation of someone or other because of their utter shame or what they've done in the eyes of the public. But while it is helpful and necessary to take action against injustice in the world, we often run the danger of using these injustices as opportunities to fool ourselves. The attitude seems to be, "Look at the wickedness of those people over there." But really, as the text for today points out, we are to realize how self-righteous we can be and how, though we may be right to judge others, these moments of public outrage are to remind us all the more that we too need to be repentant for who we are as well, for it is in all of our nature to commit sin. So in verses 1 to 5, we hear Jesus' words on reconciliation and the need for forgiveness, as some in the crowd were reporting to him about some who had suffered at the hands of Pilate. What do we see happening here? Essentially, this report implies that the ones who had suffered somehow deserved it and that they were even more wicked than the crowds themselves. How could they come to that conclusion? Are they less sinners? Well, they were living in a time when people thought it was okay to stone people in the street, so maybe they did think that. So Jesus has a lot of work to do as he sets about changing the perspective of his people, so driven by their twisted perception of Moses' law. And Jesus doesn't for a moment let any assumption stand. In other words, Pilate's victims were not more wicked than those bringing the report, or than the innocent victims who suffered when a tower in Siloam fell. It's the very question of suffering again. Some suffering comes by the hand of man, and some comes by the hand of natural disaster, both consequences of the fall into sin millennia ago. Again, really, the presence of tragedy, suffering, and death of any kind is the stark reminder of the reality of sin. The real irony is that we don't all experience what we deserve, not the other way round. But God is gracious and merciful, and he would give time to many who would be saved by this grace and mercy. So though we cannot say with any certainty that any specific tragedy is the result of a specific identifiable sin, we can say that tragedy in general is a consequence of sin in general. Romans 8:18-25. That it is something we quite frankly deserve. Don't hear this wrong, I'm not saying it's something that should ever be desired upon anyone, but that it is, because of who we are in our rebellion against God, not entirely unfit for our purpose. Of course, we want to naturally distance ourselves from any tragedy in this world, let alone in our own lives. But this is the point. What makes our lives more significant than those who lost theirs in tragedy? Is our ability to believe in God better hinged on the fact that we may have suffered less tragedy in our lives? I would actually hope not. Of course, it's not based on our ability at all, anyway, to believe. But though we would avoid it with all our might, when something does come along to shake us up and on an emotional level that we just did not expect, that certainly is a great test for us. We who have already, by the grace of God, been transformed by the Holy Spirit. These events should not cause us to question our faith. That's what we've been saying all along, isn't it, about our faith? That it's in Christ, the resurrection of the dead, not the success and comfort of this life. So even if such things are taken away to the point of distraction, what has actually changed? Not God. It is you and I who are the fickle ones. Just so, one of the ways the people in our text avoided reality was by placing blame on the victims. They were fostering the "that'll never happen to me" mentality that is all too common in our sinful minds, like just because we believe, tragedy will not befall us. Such mentality is dangerous for a very simple and profound reason. When tragedy hits, will it be enough to cause us to doubt our faith? The source and so cure for cancer is something that has eluded us since we discovered its horrific existence, and it's actually a really good example because though we don't know its origin, we still want to place an irrational blame sometimes for someone's cancer on their smoking, their drinking, or eating the wrong kinds of food, or lack of exercise. We're convinced that if we keep healthy lifestyles, such sickness won't attack us. But we're just wrong. We still don't understand or are refusing to believe that actually part of the problem is, in itself, simply a part of who we are. And that scares us most of all. Especially if we're not in the routine of reminding ourselves of our own sinfulness and need for salvation or have a hope in the resurrection. It is my aim, as usual, to have you see that even if you haven't experienced such tragedy in your life, you are mature enough or can be moved enough to contemplate your own mortality again, though I'm sure you have all lost a loved one. Hold on to the significance of this point, for it is at this very moment when we usually can't help but think about our own last day to come on this earth. Our minds are naturally drawn to the importance of sin and its consequence for me. We all need to repent because we're all going to die, and one who dies without repentance and forgiveness will perish not just on earth, however tragic that experience will be, but for all eternity. I don't want that, and I know you don't either. So when confronted with this truth, who wouldn't repent now? Someone too grieved to accept the true result of sin? But truly, we are to understand that death is only the half of it. Life is so much more than whether or not someone is with you now or not. And those who are with us, as we well know, are essentially sinners anyway. I can't think of a better existence for someone than for them to finally be at rest in their Savior's arms. It would be selfish of us to think of them as simply gone. That would be ridiculous, and quite frankly, we have more important things to worry about, like where we're going after we die. If we start to hold a grudge against God simply over the concept of death, that's a pretty good indication we're going the wrong way. Jesus illustrates the seriousness of our situation with a parable. The axe of judgment is raised and poised to strike down each and every one of us, unless Jesus is interceding on our behalf, specifically. Again, the axe of judgment is being delayed purely out of the mercy of God, but won't be forever. It could swing down at any time. Our need is urgent. Always. The time for repentance is now. Thanks be to God we are here to do just that. And thanks be to Christ that He has already interceded to reconcile us to God and is our mediator before Him. And what's more, our new life has already begun in Jesus, that as His branches we produce His fruit and share our faith with others. For as we have been reconciled with God, we have the gift of reconciliation. And as we look forward to the new and perfect creation, we hold precious every life and know that even death is not the end. For Jesus promises that the last day will not be a day of judgment for the faithful, John 5:24. So as we wait for the day, we continue to live a life of repentance, 2 Peter 3:9-14. steadfastly studying and clinging to our Lord's word, treating each day as if it could be our last to receive the gift of forgiveness. So though we live in a world well versed in the art of rationalizing away sin, we know that God punishes sin, and that if we didn't believe Jesus already took this sin for us on the cross, we'd still be heading for that punishment for our sin. But for the very reason that we know better now, even in the face of tragedy, we are reminded that we won't die eternally. So God keep us faithful until the day He returns to bring us to our heavenly home. In His name and for His sake. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. Thanks for tuning in. The podcast of this program is also available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Naumann, and I serve St. David's Lutheran Church in Cardiff, Wales, where every Sunday we have a Lutheran study at 9:45 a.m. before the main divine service at 11. Come join us. We'd love to meet you. You can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. Come, repent of your sin, receive forgiveness, and know that death will not keep you from the resurrection of the dead either, as you are in Christ Jesus. As for next week in Faith That Functions, we'll be looking at Isaiah 12 and how it is as Christians we are never drained, but rather as we are fountains for Christ, always overflowing with His grace and mercy. So for now, I pray God's peace be with you, now and always.